with the Pledge of Allegiance. We're going to have Ms. Anita Chavez lead us through the pledge.
I pledge the Pledge of Allegiance of the United States of America
Now we move on to the minutes approval for September 29th, 2017.
Move approval.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Excellent, thank you. Moving on to the next item on the agenda, then we have consortium updates. I will be providing brief updates on some of the outstanding items that the consortium is currently working on. First item is the LERIC data and accountability plan. Okay, so the data and accountability plan, so let's not show that yet, please. So we're going to give you a little bit of background. It originated back in 2015-16. Those were $25 million that were appropriated by the AUG, by the state, to the AUG office to develop a data and accountability system. For consortium to develop a data and accountability system. In the same school year, 15-16, the AUDG office apportioned an amount to all consortia, the amount that the Los Angeles Regional Adult Education Consortium received at that time was $807,855. So now we can show the next slide, please. Which is showing there as allocation school year 16-17. So it's actually the first allocation. Then basically we were waiting for the state to provide some additional guidance on how these funds were to be implemented. That guidance did not come until as of recent. In the last couple of months, and with that also came, additional distribution of the allocation that the consortium received, which is equal to $4,680,853. You can see that as the grand total on the call over there. So the second amount that was distributed to consortia members, or member districts, if you will, was $2,549,998. And the first column indicates the amount that each district received. So those two amounts, the $870,000, along with the $2,549,998, in addition to the amount that that was set aside for a common data system for a request for proposals. Equal the $4.68 million. So the amount at the bottom is not $126,000. It should be $1,260,000. We were running out of CDs. So, of the amounts that have been distributed to the consortium, to the consortium members. Basically, those two amounts, the amounts are supposed to be spent according to the plan that was submitted to the state. In the plan, the consortium indicated that the majority of expenses were going to be made on two main elements. One is data, on three main elements. One is training for the members of the for the employees of the consortium on data and accountability issues. The second item was the acquisition of equipment to help students input information onto the system to facilitate the collection of data and accountability items, if you will. And last but not least, the third amount that was set aside for common data system, $1.26 million, that was one of the major elements of the three-year plan, where the consortium identified a common data system as something that it wanted to implement as part of its strategies to provide services to all the students in the region. Are there any questions from the board on data and accountability?
Mr. Spear, there's no questions. LAUSD, though, will recuse itself from the next item on the agenda, and then when that item is finished, if someone can let me know, and I'll come back.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is the LARA Common Data and Accountability Software Development Request for Proposal. And we actually have just a brief update as far as that is concerned. We want to note that on November 6, 2017, the consortium, through Burbank Unified School District, released a request for proposal for the development of a common data system for LARA. On November 17th, that request for proposal was canceled, and at the same time, the Los Angeles Unified School District recused itself from the process of releasing a request for proposal for data and accountability, for a common system for data and accountability for the consortium. The consortium may continue to pursue the release of the request for proposal. Any questions on Common Data and Accountability Software Development? RFP.
I have a question.
Yes.
I think that when the money initially came out for a common data system, or when the money initially went out to the field, because initially it was the state that was going to develop a system.
That is correct.
And then the state said, pushed it out to the field.
Yes.
But now the state is asking everybody to use CASAS, and we all have our own student information system.
Yes.
Is this still a necessary item? I guess this is my question for the board. Is this really still something we need as a LARA to continue with? Because what would somebody come up with? Are we really... Anyway, that's my question.
And to, excuse me, and to follow on to that, why is LAUSD recusing itself? Why is it not participating?
I think I would let the executive director for LAUSD answer that question.
Okay. So we need him back in the room.
Yes. Thank you.
But then let's go back to Veronica's question. If the state's going to be issuing a data system, is that right?
Well, actually, is this on?
Yes.
So in the document released in August of this year called Measuring Our Success, there are two programs indicated, the TOPS Pro Enterprise TE And then for the community college district, they have what is called MIS. And that's what they are indicating can be used.
I need Adrian in that. So I'm just asking Joe, why is LUSD recusing itself from this conversation?
So there have been some internal discussions within LAUSD, and in fact, LA is this year in the process of implementing a brand new student information system to replace the legacy system. So the idea is that we're under contract with a particular vendor who may or may not necessarily be bidding on this particular project. And so in discussions with our, internal, legal and IT, et cetera, it was determined that, given our implementation process this year, that LAUSD simply would not be in a position to implement any new system, at least at this time. So if that changes, of course, we would let the consortium know. In terms of the concept, I want to be really clear that, this has been on the radar and has been a part of the LARIC plan for a common data system since really the beginning. So what I can say is, LAUSD would be in favor of a common system at a certain point in time. All we're saying is at this time we couldn't participate in that system given the fact that we're rolling out a new system and in development this year.
Thank you. So given that information, then we're going to go back to Brian's question. Given the size and scope of LA Unified in terms of the adult education, in terms of its education at LA in general, and given the significant participation that LA Unified has in this consortium, isn't it incumbent upon us to wait until LA Unified selects its SIS vendor so that whatever we as a group decide to go with takes into consideration LA Unified's new system to make sure that that what we come up with will be compatible? Because if we buy a product now and then for whatever reason it's not compatible with LA Unified's new system, then that just causes all kinds of additional issues. So I think that would be my thought, unless there's an urgent need to move forward. And now we go back to Veronica's question. So, Emilio, if you would read that statement again, now that Adrienne is in the room, so she can hear that.
So, in this publication that was put out in August, Measuring Our Success, as far as data collection, tools, and process, it indicates two. TOPS Pro, which is used by K-12 and adult ed, and then it indicates that community college districts use MIS.
So MIS is Management Information System, unless it's also some branding. Okay, go ahead.
So this year, 17-18, community colleges and K-12 system are going to be measured by the same metrics, which is TOPS Pro. Starting 18-19, the community college system will be measured by data points pulled by MIS.
So, you mean pulled by the Chancellor's Office MIS system?
Yes.
Okay. So then now we go back to Veronica's question.
Do we actually need a common data system request for proposal?
That's an excellent question. And
I guess I should be making a motion, not a question.
Well, so Culver City, Burbank, LA, Montebello, us, if we're all functioning as we need to for our reporting to the state, reporting to the Chancellor's Office, reporting to DOE, why do we need to make this investment?
Right. We don't need another system sitting on top of our systems. And the report that Emilio brought up talks about leveraging existing data collection system to avoid unnecessary collection of student information and to streamline data collection. It almost appears that if we purchase something else on top of it, it would actually not necessarily streamline.
Yeah, and so the next question is, as a consortium, are we going to be required to aggregate our data and report out as a whole? And is that what we're trying to fix here?
If I may, the thought originally with the data and accountability system, as it is listed on the three-year plan, what it seeks to do is to understand what happens with students in the region, which none of the systems that we currently have, including TE, would be able is able to provide at this time, which is what happens to a student once it finished in, let's say, a K-12 adult education school. Where does he go? Do they go to the community college? In other words, whether they go to employment, so on and so forth. So the employment portion, we now know we're going to be able to do with TE. This was not in existence 3 years ago. The other portion, which is student transitions, it is unclear whether TE is going to be addressed or any of the systems that we currently have will be addressing that. Another main component of the system was to develop a unique identifier for all of the students in the area so that it would be easier for the four member districts and the community college to identify its students and particular trends in terms of movement through the air.
Yeah, I think it's important to make a distinction too. I would just add, because I hear what Ms. Montes is saying, and I agree that, but I think we might be talking about two different things. I think on the one hand, some of us are talking about a whole other system to layer over what we already have. I don't think that's the solution that we're looking for. I think really what we're really looking for is a system that, now whether that's one system or multiple solutions, but so that we would have integration among the systems. So the idea being, whatever system LA or Culver City had, would in some way there would be a possibility, and again, forgive me, I'm not the techie, obviously, of the group, but a way to sort of integrate that student data, say, into the college system so that there wouldn't be a need to sort of collect all new data as if people are starting from scratch, right? Because I know that was one of the points and objectives in our three-year plan to facilitate that transition. So there would be kind of a more streamlined or warm handoff as you have students moving across various systems. So I think the key, and we want to emphasize, is integration. Nobody here on the board, I think, is talking about redundancy or adding additional layers or new software systems per se. I think the idea is integration. So I just kind of wanted to make that point.
So with that said, I'll go back to an earlier point, which is perhaps we should at least defer this until LA Unified lands on whatever it's going to land on. Because if we're looking for a way to, an integrator, if you will, of all of our systems, that would be the bending support that we're going to need to find a way to take the output of all of our systems and to create one report that satisfies the needs of the state.
What is there is a timeline connected to the money that we got for data and accountability.
Yes.
What is that timeline?
Originally, the timeline for these funds, since as indicated earlier, these are 15-16 funds, and then we usually have a three-year out period. So they were to be expired, those funds were to expire on December 31st of this year. Mm-hmm. However, the state issued a letter recognizing that their instructions to the consortia came somewhat late, and they extended that deadline to December 31st of 2018.
Okay, so then it sounds like it's something we can continue to discuss, but more from a how will we once LA has a system, because right now Burbank, Culver City, and Montebello all use the same student information system. Four of us are using Tufts Pro Enterprise, TE, and some of the community colleges use this. And then you have the MIS system. So there's nothing that we need to do right at this second, but continue to have discussions about how to best integrate. Right? Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for the clarification.
Sorry. The next item on the agenda then is the Lerner's Office staffing request. And so basically, provide a little bit of context and background, if you will. From the onset of the consortium, we've been talking about adding additional staff as needed to carry out the duties of the consortium. The original application actually left it to the project director to define the needs of the additional staff to implement the regional comprehensive plan. As of late, last open meeting that we had, the executive team approved the hiring of four individuals for the LERIC office, and the positions that were to integrate or compose this office were, number one, the director, the project director, that would be me, and two, teacher advisors, and person, trying to look for the actual term here, so fiscal analyst, and also somebody to assist with the clerical tasks of the consortium. Okay. One of the things that we've done in order to justify, if you will, the request for the additional staff is to look at some of the consortia that are already out there and look at what their staffing composition is. And through that, and basically what I did is just a survey of the consortia websites, and was able to ascertain through that Mount San Antonio, for example, which is the next in size, compared to LERIC, which is a $33 million consortia, has three members in staff. Again, I did not speak with the individuals from the consortium. I just, kind of scoured their websites to find out what their staffing composition was. South Bay, which is San Jose, a $16 million consortium, has two employees. State Center, a $14 million consortium, has eight employees. A number of those employees are navigators, by the way. Contra Costa is similarly staffed. They have seven employees. That's a $14 million consortium, and they have seven navigators. Capital was actually the most specific. That's an $11 million consortium, and they have four employees. And the positions that they have for the employees are a director, a coordinator, a project specialist that assists with financial matters, and they also have an administrative assistant. The request that LERIC made for the staffing of the consortium of LERIC is for four positions, and again, the budget proposed at the time and the budget approved was for $660,000.
Questions?
Yes.
I have a question. In those other consortia that you looked into, and I get that you just looked at the website, those employees that work for the consortia, do you know which of the agencies within the consortia are they funded through? Are they funded through one agency, or are they contribution from different agencies?
These are consortia staff, or I identify as consortia staff, so I do not know exactly because the website could not indicate that. But in my conversations with some of the consortia, you know, managers that I know, some of the consortia people that I come into contact with, generally speaking, those are funds that are taken off the top of the consortia allocation, and then they are routed to specific districts who would then employ the individuals.
I have a question as well. I think so from LAUSD, I think it would be helpful, given what Mr. Studio shared, budget, the fact that LAUSD obviously is the fiscal agent for the project manager position, which of course supports the LARIC districts. Maybe some clarity on the part of the other board members in terms of who, because ultimately one of the agencies has to sponsor these positions, is my understanding, unless there's another entity that I'm not aware of. It basically comes down to, just like in the case of Mr. Estudios' position, you know, LAUSD is the fiscal agent currently for that position. So I think the understanding was that given that in the budget that was approved, LAUSD would be the fiscal agent for the other positions in question. However, if that's not clear, we need further discussion. That might be helpful for maybe the other members to weigh in on that.
Just a comment on that particular element. The question was made last time around on September 29th if you know, the employees would be housed at LAUSD. That specific question was asked. I don't recall if there was a specific question as to whether LAUSD would be the agent, the fiscal agent for the office.
I think, and I'm just speaking for me, one of my questions is, as you, Mr. Stark, recused yourself from the conversation around the data and accountability plan, it recuses everybody that works for LAUSD from that conversation. And so my only concern is, if we come across something like that again, are we going to be left, the rest of the members, without support in terms of moving stuff along, really? So, I understand that we voted for something that made logical sense in that moment. Given new circumstances, should we reconsider possibly having them run through several agencies so that the support is across, or at least just bring the conversation back to the table, given some of these new situations? So, I'm asking. I guess, what's my ask, Bob? Bob helps me with that.
Thank you. If I understand the issue correctly, it's the location of these staff members that is one of the considerations.
The funding agency. The agency that pays the person.
Well,
at the location.
LAUSD, in this case, is just the fiscal agent. The people can be assigned or physically placed anywhere that you need them physically placed. In previous employment that I've had, our entity was the we were the fiscal agent, and we assigned someone, as it turned out, LACCD, and they've been in this district for probably over 10 years now, but they're still on Pasadena Area Community College District's books. And the LACCD is the fiscal agent for this particular grant, which is a state grant, just writes a check to Pasadena Area Community College District every year to pay for that position and that and the benefits and what have you. But they're still an employee of the Pasadena Area Community College District. So it's my understanding that LA Unified is doing the same thing because the consortium is paying them their money every year, and out of that funding every year, they are paying for these positions. Is that correct? So, you know, I think we could hire the positions, and they could be posted anywhere that we thought they would be best placed.
My concern is not where they're located. My concern is around if they're funded 100% out of one agency, and that agency has whatever issue that comes up and has to recuse themselves, which means they're recusing everybody that technically works for that agency, even though they are LARIC, then we would be left, the rest of the programs would be left without that kind of support, even in getting through that particular issue. So how do we, and this is what I'm open to, how do we make sure that doesn't happen? Can we fund them out of different agencies and have them show up there? Can we, do we fund them out of different locations, agencies, and their location be somewhere else? I'm just opening that up.
So let's do a what if. So what if the positions are hired by LA Unified and they're assigned at Culver City? This position is assigned at Culver City. LA Unified has a reduction in force and a bumping situation goes into effect. The person who is working at Culver City could effectively be bumped. But because this is soft money, that could occur, and then our consortium could then say, you know what, we're now going to pay Culver City. We're now going to ask Culver City to hire that individual and then provide the funding directly to Culver City so we can pay for that individual. So that's one way around the issue. The other thing that we could do, I'm not sure this would work, but there are ways in which you could manage a situation like this, like it happened, I think, if that happened. I think the real issue here, the real topic on the table is, where are these people going to work, and what services are they going to perform, and how do we make sure that there's equity across the five districts in relation to these district or these LARIC wide employments?
Well, I think there's another consideration, and that is the size of this consortium. And Mr. Astudio has done great work. So my question is, when we look at these other agencies that are nowhere near our size, do we need to consider possibly adding another staff position?
Absolutely.
Maybe a co-project manager. That's just an example. Again, given when he was talking about Mount SAC, I believe you said was the closest, and
yes,
their budget is
$33 million.
That's what, maybe one third of ours. Ours is more than that. Again, that's my question.
And that's another topic. We adopted a budget a few months ago. In that budget were these positions.
Right.
My personal position is we should move forward with these positions, dealing with whatever concerns we have about where they're placed and the like, but also further consider additional staffing as needed to run the business of this consortium.
Yeah, I would agree with Bob on that point, and just kind of reminding everybody that regardless of where the particular employees are housed and depending on which district is hiring them, obviously they have to conform to whatever policies and so forth that are a part of each respective district. So there are any number of unforeseen circumstances that can come into play in any one of our districts that we can't necessarily predict. But I think one way to mitigate, you know, any future concern would be to look at the possibility of, I think, first determining, you know, and being very clear about what the positions, what positions are needed, if we need to add, and being very clear about what the duties of those individuals are going to be to support the consortium. And then, obviously, looking at, you know, and this is going to vary, obviously, by each district, to what degree are other districts able to step up and maybe hire and be the fiscal agent for other positions that may be necessary. So I would think we would be in, you know, in agreement on moving in that direction. It sounds like there's consensus there.
And if I may, Joe, I believe Montebello might be able to be in that position to do so if we have to go further, because of the fact of where we're at and within our financial state and our oversight. So I think it would be a very viable option for Montebello to look into that if the members would agree to something like that, if we need to go further.
So then, right now, the current... So my request is that all positions don't come from one district. That's my simple request, is that we look at least look at the possibility so that it's more like, while anything can happen in one district, when 100% of the support staff are funded out of that same district, the impact is greater than if there are people in several districts that can still work together, do all the stuff we need to do, right, for sure, but the impact of it when everybody's in one district is going to be greater than if we're spread out just a little bit, but still be able to provide the support. And then I think when we talked about it initially, it was a logistics issue that we were thinking LA could, you know, support, put the positions through just from a logistics point of view. But I just want to make sure that we don't consider logistics over support. So there were positions that were about to be posted in LA Unified. So my question now is, we've got those positions you just announced, that you've not just announced, we've known them. Two advisor, fiscal analyst, and a classified person, clerical person.
Yes, and the only two positions that would be posted, if okay with the board, would be the teacher advisor positions. We are still trying to get the other two positions cleared through the freeze committee currently in place at LAUSD.
Okay, if I can
interject. Right, but that's all LAUSD.
Yeah, if I can interject there, so if we could do, we could table those two positions, and then we can see if another one of our other districts within our consortium could possibly be the fiscal agent for those two positions.
Sure. So what it's sounding like to me is, obviously, as a board, we need to provide clear direction to staff, right, which it doesn't seem like we have at this moment. So I'd like to propose something in terms of direction to staff by the next meeting, because eventually we're going to have to take action on this item, which isn't happening today. But to work among the five, each district has a point person assigned, which is a part of the support that's provided through the consortium funds around these activities that relate to consortium activities. So I'd like to, you know, make a recommendation for staff to come up with a plan based on what was shared today, and provide that as a recommendation for the next meeting, open meeting, and as an action item for the board to take action on.
Yeah, and I think that's a very reasonable approach. And since these are personnel-related items, we would probably have a discussion in a closed session first so that we could see all this information, and then we would bring it to the open meeting.
Correct, yes.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other comments on the LARIC office staffing request? All right, and just a point of clarification, I want to make sure I understand what we're talking about. Mr. Garcia suggested that this is applicable to the two positions that have not cleared the priest committee yet, or is there agreement among everybody on that, or does it apply to all four positions?
Now, I'd like to clarify, just the two positions that are currently frozen, I'd like to propose that. Let's currently come back to the table with that.
Frozen?
Frozen, they're currently frozen.
The fiscal analyst and the secretary, or the two advisors?
Which two are you referring to?
Fiscal analyst and the clerical and the classified are the positions that are currently frozen. The other two positions, teacher advisors, have been cleared to proceed.
Okay, I'm sorry, Bob. I'm fine with those two, and then the other two we can come back to the table. That's my recommendation.
So I guess I have to ask this question. If it's soft money and not LA Unified money, why are they frozen? Are you saying if there's no hiring taking... I'm not pointing to you, Lancy, but... Are we saying that there's no hiring in LA Unified School District at the moment, no matter the source of funding, even if the funding is not LA Unified General Fund money?
What I'm saying is all positions that are presented for hiring have to go through a priest committee for evaluation. The fact that positions are going through is because the funding comes from the AEBG grant, and so that's why they are allowed to go through.
So why are we talking about any? Why the financial analysts and the other position get stuck?
The only reason for that is we had some additional requirements that we needed to comply with. Because they are classified positions, and there's usually a waiting list, so we have to go through the personnel.
So how long is this process going to take?
That's an excellent question. We've provided all the information that they needed, and we are awaiting for their response.
So with all due respect to our LA Unified School District, I would not have any positions go through LACCD because of our personnel commission structure. And it doesn't sound like we should have any positions go through LAUSD for the same reason, because of the personnel commission structure. And therefore, hiring at any one of our three school district colleagues would be a lot easier because they don't have personnel commission. Don't quote me.
We do have personnel commission, Bob.
I do not have a personnel commission.
And Burbank?
Burbank does not.
So I would suggest that we fund these positions through either Burbank or Culver City. Even now. Because personnel commissions take a long time. And there's a lot of red tape.
Yes.
I think that I agree with Joe's recommendation, and that is that we bring this to a discussion instead of making any, because we're not making any decisions today, because it's not in an action item, right?
That is correct.
So when is our next meeting?
The next meeting has been tentatively scheduled for January 19th, 2018.
So we want to wait another month. Do we want to call a special meeting, or do we want to wait another month to delay this?
Probably because of the holiday. January 8th is just fine. Because
January 19th. Because of the holiday, things would get caught up anyway.
All right, yes, not a problem there. I just want to remind the executive board that we do have a number of issues pending, a lot of work to be done. We have a conference to plan, so on and so forth. So the longer that we wait, the more affected, in providing services, the LEREC office will be.
If we've already approved the positions, can't we just... unofficially today say, let's explore either Culver City or Burbank taking on the hiring responsibilities for those positions? I mean, does that have to be in action?
I think the clarity that's being sought out is making a decision that's clear and transparent, from the board, perspective. Again, I think based on what was approved, in terms of the budget, you know, there was an understanding that certain positions were going to be run through LAUSD. Again, if the decision is to change it, that, you know, I don't personally have a problem with it. But, you know, certain things, you know, were set in motion as a result of that understanding. If there's going to be a change, I think that's something that should be part of a board action. Given the timeline, you know, that we're working with, if, you know, the board feels we need to, have a meeting before January, I'm certainly open to that.
You know, I agree with Lancey. I think that we've got a timeline with things that need to be done. The concern for me, and where I'd be willing to have conversations about this, is with regard to our operation and the fact that we are the largest consortium in the state, and I'd like to entertain looking at providing additional staff support, again, as an example, whether that be a co-project manager or some other position there, because when you look at what Mr. Estudis presented earlier, given our budget and the work that we have before us, I think it, from my perspective only, we're going to have a conversation. I would hope we could use another a staff member there, and look at our geographical location. I think let's think about that as well.
So right now, the two teacher advisor positions are ready to fly.
That is correct.
They're being flown through LAUSD.
Yes.
So if they fly through LAUSD, LAUSD hires them, and then we continue to look at the concept that Mr. Urioste said, which was the possibility of additional staff outside of LAUSD potentially.
Yes.
Could we move forward on the two teacher advisors with LAUSD?
Yeah, we are doing it.
Okay.
So I was just trying to expedite the other decision, but you know, what I'm hearing the pleasure of the board is that we defer that until January 19th, maybe discuss it in the context of additional recommendations that might come to us by staff at that point, taking into effect that what Emilio is speaking to and what our point person teams tell us. But like you, when we just want to get on with this, because we have a lot of work to do, and you're good at the 20s technology. It's not quite yet perfected, and therefore we wouldn't want to hurt you if we try to clone you.
Fair enough, thank you. So let me recap for clarity's sake. Going along with a decision that had already been made by the board, we are okay to move forward with the two teacher advisor positions that have cleared the FRIES committee. The other two positions, and possibly another position, are to be evaluated based on the needs of the consortium for services to be provided by the point person's team, and come back with a proposal to the executive team, hopefully before January 19th, so that this can be an action item to be included on the January 19th meeting. Is that correct?
I'm saying yes.
Yeah.
I'm still struggling. I'm just struggling. I'm worried that if every position is funded through LAUSD and anything happens again, we're stuck without support. So I don't know how to. I don't know how to.
Yeah, I understand the concern. I understand the concern, and I think that's what we're actively trying to address in moving forward, is that We understand that, you know, as we said earlier, situations can occur in any district that are unforeseen. And again, as part of the support that's already provided to each of the districts in terms of funding a point person position, I think it sounds like the other districts would be interested in augmenting that support with additional positions that may or may not include, you know, another project manager, maybe another point person position at each of the districts. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like. But it seems to me we have consensus that that's the direction that we all want to go forward with.
Right, and if I may just quickly add, again, if Bob Miller was hired by L Unified to work for Lyric, Bob Miller got bumps because of an L Unified situation, or any of our districts. Presumably, if Bob Miller is providing value, one of the other Lyric partners would be able to pick up that particular position and rehire Bob Miller, only now he is going to work for the other districts.
That's assuming they have the money.
And that would be one way around this, should that particular instance occur. Does that address your concern?
No, but you guys only need four to one, so we're good.
The other, you know, thing regarding this issue is that we're just talking about a few solutions. There are others as well. You know, for example, I mean, if folks felt that we needed to contract with an outside agency to provide all these services, I mean, that would be another way to do it. And that way those folks wouldn't be working for any one particular district. If we wanted to form a JPA, that would be another way to go. So I think I know a number of these possibilities have been explored in the past, but it could be, you know, that we need to take a fresh look at this issue, given our size and expansion and so forth, to really look at which option is going to best meet our needs. So I want you to know, I hear what you're saying, and I think it is a really important issue that I don't know if it's an either-or. I think that there's a number of solutions and possibilities that we may want to explore.
Okay. I'm good. Consensus.
Okay. So thank you to all the board members. I just want to clarify that we are free to proceed.
With the teacher advisor position.
Yes.
With the two teacher advisor positions.
Right.
Yes. Thank you. Our next... is there any additional comment on this issue? Can we move forward on the agenda? Okay, so moving forward on the agenda, we have an update on the recommendations for LEREC from the Montebello State Audit, Montebello Unified School District State Audit.
If I may address the board, so the state audit findings have come back, and they have been posted not only on our website, but also on the state auditor's website for Montebello Unified, and their findings for not just our entire district, but also for our adult school portion of our district as well. There are some findings that LEREC has made some recommendations. The state auditor has made some recommendations for LEREC to address for Montebello Unified adult education. As a consortium, we are actively addressing some items that we are trying to rectify as quickly as possible. At this point in time, we are currently dialoguing as a board in regards to how we can quickly suffice the recommendations that the state auditor is looking for us to take action on as quickly as possible. We are also drafting a letter response at this time, which is due by January 7th, correct me, Lansing? January 7th? Second? When's that letter due, Lansing?
January 2nd.
There's a letter that, in response to what the auditor has proposed for possible recommendations. So we're currently working on that as well as a board. So we are currently working progressively forward as a board to address all recommendations, or as many recommendations as possible, as quickly as possible. Montebello has been very actively working with all our board members. They have been very favorable, and I thank them for that as well, because of the fact that we're trying to be as transparent with our board members here in the consortium, so we can progressively move forward as quickly as possible. So that's basically our update for our recommendations from the state auditor. Any questions for me, from board members?
Not a question, more a statement. I just want to publicly thank you for your candor, your transparency, your forthcomingness in looking at all of this, and I know it can't be easy, and that we are very fortunate to have you as part of our executive board. So we got your back.
Thank you, Mr. Garcia. Moving on with the agenda items, now we go on to the public comment section. We have a request from one speaker that, if it pleases the board, is requesting two segments to speak. One as a representative of the Culver City community member, and another one as a member of the LUSD.
Who could that
personnel.
Be?
So, if you would join us over here, please. May I introduce Ms. Laura Sergier? She is going to be talking in her capacity as Culver City community member about the grant.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sam here, starting with you.
Thank you.
And maybe Adrienne Ann wants to back me up on this grant. So, when I first found out that the Lyric Board was going to have to follow the grant rules, I felt really bad for you because it adds a layer of complication that. You're probably not really aware of how it can affect the way that you do business, because just from observing, I can see that you're not really following the Brown Act yet. So hopefully you'll have a training so that you guys can all do that. So for one example would be that you didn't report out anything from the closed session, you don't have an agenda from the closed session. There are sidebar conversations that you wouldn't be allowed to have either, with the Brown Act. Everything has to be done in public. So, I know in the past you've had a highly collaborative group and you've been able to come to consensus, which has been great. But I think moving forward, because it's such a large budget to deal with, and as there are potential risks, I think you'll see that more people are going to be interested in what you're discussing and how you're making your decisions and who's making what decisions. The other thing would be is like the public comment would want to come earlier, because if you have action items, your public would want to be able to weigh in on those things before you actually vote it. So this just all adds a layer of complexity, which kind of ties into the other issue that I was going to talk to. So I'm going to make it very brief. Was the additional staff for the Lyric staff. So having the additional work around the Brown Act and all the other things that you're planning really does make it imperative that you have more Lyric staff. And I know that Ramsey looks very calm on top, but he's really like a duck in the water, because he's calm on top, but underneath, he's paddling very, very hard. And he has to go begging at central office for people in Matthew's department to come and support the Lyric work, people in my department to support the Lyric work, for example, Clarence is in my department, and he's here today supporting the Lyric work. He's very gracious in his begging, but it does put a lot of strain on the rest of the people that he's working with, the central office. So, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gage. Do we have any additional public speakers? Any requests for public speaking? No? Terrific. So,
Angie. So I know Brown Act, we're not supposed to respond to the public, but since we're not quite where we need to be anyway right now, I would ask that that staff be trained as quickly as possible on the Brown Act requirements in terms of posting proper agendas and the like. And I know this just says to me that we really need to get you the support that you need immediately to be able to do the things that you need to do. So I would just ask my colleagues here to move as expeditiously as possible on the staffing issue so that we can get our house in order and provide the support that you need to continue to do the excellent work that you do for us.
Thank you, Dr. Mann. Would any other members of the executive committee, the executive board, like to make a comment? If not, I just want to do a quick shout out to our VEREC conference that is coming up so that we can end on a really nice and energized and positive note. Let's go on to the final piece of the conference. And there it is. So we're really excited. It's coming up on March 10th, and this is basically the graphics that we're going to use for the rest of the conference, and this is the theme as well. So now that it's official, then be prepared to see a lot of marketing materials on that, and we really appreciate the Point Persons team are very actively participating and providing additional personnel to help move forward this process. With that, just want to once again notice the next meeting, which is going to be taking place tentatively on January 19th. We will go ahead and update the website accordingly. Officially, the next meeting that we had planned was for February 9th, but now, tentatively, January 19th. Yes, Dr. Mann.
So as we go forward in a more formal way, I'd like to suggest that we arrange these tables in a U form so that we can actually see each other. And that you, as our senior director, have a seat at the table, and you coordinate with us, and that the podium be placed in a position where there's easy visibility for us to see what's going on, and that also this PowerPoint be placed in a position that the whole audience can see it, us and them. So we're not doing this, and we're not tempted to have our sidebars and what have you. So we just need to sort of rearrange the furniture a little bit here. If we're going to play like the big boys, we should be like the big boys. And while I'm saying that, while I'm speaking out of turn here a little bit, I noticed that our minutes are actually transcripts.
That is correct.
So I don't believe that we should have minutes that are transcripts. I think we should have minutes that are more action-oriented. Every word that we say should not be part of the official record. So we should just have the traditional minutes with action items, etc. So perhaps we can talk about that as well.
Duly noted, we will take your recommendations and try to implement most of them by next meeting as well. Point well taken. Mr. Wierowski?
Are we looking at having it here on the 19th or yet to be determined?
That is yet to be determined. That's usually the official, the unofficial official location for most of our meetings nowadays. So we will check the schedule, and then we will make an official release of the date and place where the meeting will be taking place. Okay, so with that, then, if there aren't any additional comments, then this meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Thank you.
We're not going to break into applause.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
Have a good weekend. Take care. All right.
See ya.
Have a good weekend. What happened to your finger?
I
a hangnail.
And then it's...
Oh, okay. I thought you pulled a nail.
No. I just poked at my skin. It's bad for me.
No, it's good.
Yes.
Good weekend, Amelia.
All right.
All righty.